So this morning we were talking about the patience of God, that God is slow to anger. And often when we look at this topic, we want to move quickly to ourselves. But before we move to ourselves, I want us firstly to look at the patience of others. So we're looking at the patience of God, the patience of others, and tomorrow we will look at the practice of patience in our own lives. I want you to open up Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And we'll pray again as we come to the Lord. Lord, we ask that as we look at your word, that you would help us in understanding it and contemplating. Lord, that you would help us live our lives after you. In your precious name, amen. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. The call in this verse is to imitate others, is to follow others. And what you will realize again about human beings and people, what do we often do? We follow people. In fact, our whole social media structure is geared around doing what? Following people. Why? Because they know that that is what we like to do. We like to follow people and we like to accumulate followers. I was talking with a young woman recently, and she was honest with me in saying that as she has been using Instagram, her social media account, she has been following certain people. And as she has been following certain people, what she realized was that what those people were doing, saying, and how they were dressing was affecting her. So slowly but surely, her dress was changing, her talk was changing, and her attitude was changing. And so what did she see? I don't want this to influence me. I don't want these people to influence me in that way. We like to follow people. We like to do what they do. We like to wear what they wear. And so what she did, which was quite commendable, is she stopped following them. She knew she was influenced in a negative way by them, and she stopped following them. We all follow and imitate people. We know this from children as well, of course. You will hear your child, they will be saying a certain word. And you'll wonder to yourself, well, where do they get that from? And it's not only a few days later that you realize yourself saying the exact same word. And you realize, well, they got it from me. We imitate people, we follow people. That's what we do. Think about your prayer life. Did someone, when you learned how to pray, did someone actually sit you down face to face and tell you this is how you pray? Or did you hear others pray, slowly learn, and then start praying yourself? We learn off people. We imitate people. And this is what this scripture is calling us to. A life of imitation. Following after others who have walked a path. But look at what he says in verse 12. First, he says this: we do not want you to become lazy. So the writer of Hebrews has a concern for those who are receiving this letter. And the concern is this: they are under trial and it seems like they are under persecution. And the concern is that they will become lazy. You see, when you're under trial and when you're under persecution, there are two options for what way you're going to go. You either get more steadfast in your faith or you get lazy in your faith. His concern for them was that they would get lazy in their faith. And earlier on in chapter 6, he was saying to them, you guys, you should be teachers right now. You should be instructing others in the faith. You should be going from this baby food that you're on. Now you should be having the meat of the word. But the problem is they're not growing and they're not maturing. And so he's writing to them. One of his concerns for them is that they would not become lazy. But instead, he says, the opposite of laziness. Instead, he says, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. And you see, that tells us something about patience right there. Patience is not laziness. Patience is not passive. What is patience? It is active. And patience, what you see here in this verse, is also linked to faith. Just as we saw that patience was linked in a way to anger, we could have said that the person who is impatient is often what? The angry person. But the person who is impatient could also be the person who lacks in faith, who is lacking in trust of God and what he is going to do. We are to imitate those who through faith and patience follow after the Lord to inherit his promises. And so what I want us to do is look at some of these examples that are in the scriptures and see what we can learn. And the first example is a man called Abraham. And we need look no further than just the very next verse, verse 13. It says this: when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised to him. You see, Abraham had received a promise, you will remember, in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. He received a promise. And in this promise, there was a promise of land, seed, and blessing. Threefold promise. Now, some is added to that, but essentially a threefold promise: land, seed, and blessing. And part of this promise we see being mentioned here, this is the promise of seed, family. You will get a big family. This is why family trees are very important in Genesis. The reason family or trees are very important is because you see God keeping his promises. And so here we have Abraham being told of here as one who waited patiently for the promise of God. And the focus of these verses isn't necessarily the land and the blessing. The focus of these verses is that of the family, the seed. But there is a problem, of course, his age. When he got the promise, he was, what, around 75. Sarah, or Sarai, was 65. So I don't want to be ageist or anything, but like, if you are going to plan for a family, 75 and 65 probably isn't the ages you should plan for a family. And so this was the tension between the promise. How could God fulfill his promise, give him this seed, and yet them be that age? And see, this tension between the promise and their age is reflected later on in Hebrews. So turn with me. We're going to be flicking a bit. This is a topical message, so we'll be flicking a bit. Chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll go back to chapter 6, so just get ready for that. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. It mentions this age thing. It says, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah, she wasn't just barren, she was also past age. It seemed doubly impossible for her to have a child. And in this we see that he had faith, not in his own faith that he mustered up, his own strength, but he had faith in the faithfulness of the one who made the promise. Faith is not faith in myself and me wamping it up. Faith is putting my faith in someone else to do something. And this is faith in God that he exhibits. And so in and around his 80s, he was wondering, how is this promise going to be fulfilled? In Genesis 15, he was wondering, how is this promise going to be fulfilled? And then God takes him out to see the stars. And he says, look at the stars. Can you count them? Can you number the stars? course, you can't count the stars. So will your descendants be. And in Genesis 15, verse 6, it says that Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. He had faith in the faithful one to complete that. But then in verses 6 and 7, he continues to ask this question, well, how is this actually going to be? And then God again reaffirms the promise to him. He makes this covenant agreement with him and promise to him as God himself walks between the parts of the animals, if you'll remember. He had faith in one to keep his promise. He's in his 80s. Finally, by the time he's around 100 and she's 90, and they had laughed and they had doubted God, she gives birth to the one who laughs, Isaac. And they then see that nothing is impossible for God. When God makes a promise, nothing is impossible for him. How long did he have to wait? Roughly 25 years. That is faith and patience. However, when he died, do you know what happened? He didn't see all of the promise. He only saw part of the promise. And this is the reality for those in Hebrews chapter 11. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. All these people, referring back to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Sarah, all these people had received a promise, but they didn't quite see it fully happen. What does that tell us about Abraham? Abraham died in faith and patiently waiting for the promises of God to be fulfilled. He was buried in the land, but he was patiently waiting for the promises of God to be fulfilled. And as we think about this for ourselves, if you look back in chapter 6, verse 12, what does it say to us? We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Hebrews 11 is not just a chapter of faith. I believe by this verse it is a chapter of faith and patience. And so for us as we look at this, you know, I think with Christianity, we have invented a certain type of Christianity. I used to play sport quite a lot. I kind of do a bit now, but I used to play sport quite a lot. And there is one position that I really hated when I used to play sport. One position that I hated above all other positions. Do you know what that position was? Well, I did hate that. It was on the bench. I hated being on the bench. Yeah, sure, I was part of the team, but I hated being on the bench. Do you know why? The wins, they didn't feel as good. And even the losses, they didn't even hurt as much. I was just sitting on the bench. And I think that we have invented a Christianity that does not exist. It is the Christianity that I call lazy Christianity. It is the Christianity that I call on the bench Christianity. It is the Christianity that doesn't seek to grow in faith and patience, doesn't seek to grow in the knowledge of God, doesn't seek to bear fruit. We sit in our Christianity and we are lazy and on the bench. And do you know what happens? The wins, they don't feel as good. And the losses, they don't hurt as much. A church gets planted, we don't care. Someone leaves the church, we don't care. We come in, we sing, we leave. We come in, we sing, we leave. We come in, We sing, we leave. We do not want you to become lazy. But, he says, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. We shouldn't desire on the bench Christianity, we should desire in the game Christianity. I believe that's what the Lord wants for us, to live for Him, a life after Him, honoring Him. That we live our lives in faith and patience, and we do so right up until the day we die. That is how I want to die. As someone who dies, faithfully waiting for the promises of God. That is Abraham, but there are others that we should seek to imitate. And those that we should seek to imitate, I think, probably best described in James. James chapter 5. So turn to your right a few pages. James chapter 5 and verse 7. James chapter 5, verse 7. There are three mentioned here: the farmer, the prophets, and Job. Verse 7. Be patient, then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And so, while in Abraham what we see is this example of faith and patience, the farmer, we're not going to go into the farmer much, sorry. I should really, if seeing as I'm in Bandon, but you know. The farmer is an example of patience and dependency. The prophets are an example of patience in suffering. Look at what he says, verse 10. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Not only do we have Abraham as an example, but we also have the prophets as an example to us. They were patient when they were suffering. They were patient in amidst their problems. And it is so difficult to be patient with your problems. And when we think of the prophets, he doesn't mention one specifically. He just says, take the prophets. But as you think of the prophets and their stories, you should think of Jeremiah, who was put in stocks, thrown in prison, and suffered many afflictions. Or Elijah's life, who was under constant threat, especially from Ahab and Jezebel. Or Daniel, who was deported and thrown into the lion's den, or Ezekiel, who suffered the death of his wife as a picture of Israel's death, or Hosea, the loss of his wife as a picture of Israel's adultery. The prophets went through much suffering. We are to see them as an example. And when we see them as an example of suffering, we see them as ones who suffered, and yet it says, at the end of verse 10, they spoke in the name of the Lord. While they were suffering, they still patiently did what the Lord had called them to do. They still patiently spoke the word of the Lord, even though they were suffering. Brothers and sisters, might that be with us? That when we suffer, we might continually and patiently do what the Lord has called us to do. That we might patiently wait for His coming, even as we suffer, and continue to faithfully speak out the name of the Lord. But there is another example of patience. Not just the farmer, not just the prophets, but patience here, it has a name. And a name that you wouldn't expect. The man of patience, Job. Here's what he says, verse 11. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And so here, when we see patience, it mentions Job. Patience is given a name. And patience here, I think, is linked to perseverance in these verses. So while you could say that the patient person is the one who slows down their anger, and the patient person is the one who exhibits faith, and the patient person is the one who depends on the Lord, and the patient one is the one who stays faithfully patient to the Lord in their suffering, the patient one is also the one who perseveres under their trial. And when I think of patience, can I be honest with you, I don't necessarily think of Job as number one. Yes, he did suffer. Think of his sufferings. Job lost all his children, all his wealth, was covered in painful sores. Job's wife gave him this advice: give up, curse God, and die. Not a good wife. Job's friends falsely accused him of wrongdoing again and again, and they blamed him for all the bad things that happened to him. He was suffering and in pain, and yet he persevered. But didn't he complain about it and wonder what was going on and wrestle with God? Yes, I think he did. And that's what I think it tells us something about patience, doesn't it? That patience oftentimes is messy. You see, sometimes when people hear me talk about patience and say patience, they think that I'm telling you to be quiet, stay in a room, and keep yourself quiet and tell yourself that I should be a good little patient boy or girl. And I should behave myself. But I think what God would have us in our sufferings and in our frustrations and in all that is going on, I think God would have us talk with him. I think the psalmists do this all the time. They speak to God of their frustrations. They speak to God of their anger. They speak to God of their confusion. And Job does this all the time. And yet Job is patient because Job perseveres in the end. But if you are going to come to God in that way, what you need to be prepared for is what God said to Job. Because the book of Job is a book like this. Everybody has wisdom. Everybody comes out with what is good. It's a book that goes blah, 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 blah. All his friends, they come and they give him advice. They think they know what's going on. They give him advice and advice and advice. And then later on in the book, after his three friends fail with their advice, then this young fella comes in and he thinks he knows it all. And so the young fella comes in and he gives advice, except we notice that he doesn't know it all. And we have all these people speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking, and Job speaking, and everybody's talking in the book of Job. And what we are waiting for is someone who is going to say something that actually has some wisdom and weight to it. And it is finally when God speaks that we hear wisdom. God says this to Job: who is this that darkens the counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you will make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? Where were you, Job, The Lord is the one who has wisdom. The Lord is the one who has understanding. And when we come to the Lord with our frustrations and our angers, which we should be prepared for the answer that the Lord is to give us. I don't think there is an answer at the end of Job. But I do think this. The Bible tells us that he persevered. And in the end, James chapter 5, verse 11 tells us, he figured out something about the Lord. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. That echoes Exodus 34. The Lord is slow to anger, full of compassion and mercy. This is who the Lord is. Abraham, the farmer, the prophets, Job, one more. We can't go anywhere talking about patience without talking about the patience of Paul. Look at 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 10. Paul is giving his final instruction to Timothy. And Paul is telling him about his ministry. And Paul says these words to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, and sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. What Paul is saying here is that not only did he have faith, and not only did he have sufferings, but also in his patience, he had what? Endurance. The one who is patient is the one who is slow to anger. The one who is patient is the one who is faithful to God. The one who is patient is the one who depends on God. The one who is patient depends on him in suffering. The one who is patient perseveres. And the one who is patient endures. And this is what Paul does. He endures shipwrecks and beatings and sufferings. And why does he endure it all? 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The reason Paul suffered so well and endured with patience is this: for the sake of the elect, that they might know Christ. Here's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Gospel ministry is going to be hard, and you continue on with endurance and faith. I believe it is no accident. When I came back home, I'm going to embarrass you for a second. When I came back home and we went to the joint service in Bandon, and at the joint service, Martin had preached James 5. And he preached James 5, and that was the beginning of my look at patience. Because I hated patience, and I didn't want it, and I wanted to keep going. And I had trained in America, and they told you, just keep going. Don't wait for anything. And it was then that I knew that I had to make a decision in ministry. If I am going to keep going, I need patience and I need endurance. So in Passage West, you know what keeps me going? God has his people there. And we keep going and we keep going until he calls us home and we die faithfully waiting for the promises of God. People are all excited about Passage right now and things that are happening. We are kidding ourselves if we don't think it's going to continue to take patient endurance. That is what has continued to happen in Kinsale. What do you need? Patient endurance. What are you going to need in Westside as you keep going? Patient endurance. We keep going and we keep going and we keep going until the day we die and he calls us home. If Paul were to come into this room, he would say, Shane, you're forgetting something. You're forgetting someone. Because you know what Paul would say if he was to stand in this room? Paul would say this, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. You only follow me so much as I follow Christ. We only follow all of these examples that we have laid up so much as they follow Christ. We only follow examples around us in the church only so much as they follow Christ. This is who we are to follow. And at the end of Hebrews chapter 11, do you know what it says? Well, it goes into chapter 12. I think they should be all together. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Since you are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, chapter 11, let us continue on fixing our eyes on Jesus, who endured, patiently endured, for the joy that was set before him. You know, when I was younger, I remember we used to go to Cortmacsherry. I have family in Cortmacsherry, and there was this parade that they used to always have, and there was this train thing that my brother and I used to get on, and we used to honk the horn, and we loved this parade. There was also these races that we used to run in, and I remember I was 5 or 6. Now, I talked with my family about this. They don't remember it, but this is what I remember. I was running in this race in Cormacsherry. I was standing at the starting line, and I remember running and stumbling in the long grass, because they didn't cut the grass. I ran and I stumbled, and I fell in the long grass. And I got up, and I remember my dad standing at the finishing line, and he was going like this. Come on. Come on. Come on. And I remember standing up, I'm 5 or 6, and I knew I was going to finish that race. Not because of myself, but because he was calling me home. Brothers and sisters, we are in a race. There are people who have ran up before us. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Job. They stand at the sidelines and they cheer us on. There are people who are running with us, our brothers and sisters who stand beside us cheering us on. But there is one who ran the race and ran it perfectly. And he sits on the other side at the right hand of the Father. And he says, come on. And he calls us home. And we know when we fix our eyes on him, no matter what happens, I am going to finish this race. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that you would help us in our patient perseverance. Lord, that you would help us in this task. That as we look at your patience, that you are slow to anger, and as we look at the patience of others, and how they finish the race well. Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue on, following their example, as they follow the example of Christ. In your name, amen.